From Spokane Public Radio, it's SPR News Today. I'm Owen Henderson. It's Friday, June 12th, 2026. On today's show, Spokane City Council is planning to vote on an emergency moratorium on data centers after Avista Utilities confirmed a company is seeking to build one in eastern Washington. And the Safe and Healthy Spokane Task Force has put out its recommendations for the region's homelessness response. Now it's up to elected officials to decide which, if any, of the recommendations they'll try to implement. Plus, with her trademark deadpan delivery, multiple nominations and awards, and more TV appearances than you can count, it's fair to say Tig Notaro has made an impact on the cultural landscape. So naturally, SPR wanted to hear from her as part of our Tastemakers series, ahead of her tour stop in Spokane tonight. Those stories and more coming up on SPR News Today. Spokane will consider an emergency moratorium on data centers next week. SPR's Eliza Billingham has more.
Avista confirmed this week that a company is seeking to build a data center somewhere in eastern Washington. That's sent Spokane officials into a frenzy. Council members Paul Dillon, Sarah Dixit, and Kate Tellis immediately proposed a year-long citywide moratorium on data centers. Council is set to hold an emergency vote on that proposal Monday night. Data centers can be lucrative economic drivers thanks to tax revenue, but also heavy drains on the environment, especially water. Kootenai County decided last fall to prohibit companies from building data centers over the aquifer in their jurisdiction. Commissioners are interested in finalizing a complete ban for their county. Avista has not disclosed where their customer is seeking to build a data center. Avista's Washington service area extends from the Canadian border to the Palouse. I'm Eliza Billingham reporting.
The Safe and Healthy Task Force yesterday issued 14 recommendations to help Spokane balance its criminal justice and social service needs. It calls for finding better ways to deal with the so-called frequent flyers in the criminal justice and health systems. Task Force member Chud Wendell says he came to the discussions thinking Spokane just needs a new jail. He still thinks that, but says now he believes it needs much more.
Modern, right-sized justice facilities and community-based treatment, crisis stabilization, diversion, reentry, prevention, and housing capacity must be planned together because each makes the other work. The task force core conviction from the start has been that safe and healthy move together.
Superior Court presiding judge Tony Hazel also served on the task force. He says his and other institutions must move out of their silos and more effectively work together.
We're not seeking perfection. We understand that. But we are seeking meaningful progress that can be evaluated and then reported to the public to show our results. If we get the coordination structure right, there will be so many opportunities for improvement and self-correction.
Sheriff John Knowles says he supports most of the proposals, but
we do not have enough financial resources as a government as whole to implement every single one of these things and also deliver all of the things we are required to by law.
The task force doesn't have the authority to carry out its recommendations. That's up to local elected officials. But the group has urged them to create a separate committee to work on issues to ensure the recommendations aren't ignored or forgotten. A high school wrestler is suing Washington over its policy on transgender athletes. State government reporter Sarah Mises-Tan has more.
A Puyallup athlete claims she was unknowingly made to wrestle with a trans athlete and that her opponent sexually assaulted her during the match. The alleged incident happened last December. The student's family claims that school officials did not take appropriate action to investigate. The family also wants the state to change its policy of allowing trans athletes to compete on teams that align with their gender identity. The allegation has also prompted the Trump administration to look into the school district. State sports officials say they couldn't comment on pending litigation. They've said in the past that fewer than 10 trans athletes play on school sports teams statewide. The new lawsuit comes ahead of a ballot initiative this November that'll ask voters to consider banning trans girls from competing on girls' school sports teams. In Olympia, I'm Sarah Mises-Tan.
A philanthropy is pledging hundreds of millions of dollars to fund 10,000 new affordable rental homes in Washington. The Bulmer Group announced yesterday its money will cover up to $150,000 per unit in forgivable loans. To qualify, the homes must have at least two bedrooms and be affordable to families earning about half the area median income. Developers also have to promise to keep the rent discounted for at least 60 years. Lawmakers had to pass a bill to accept the hundreds of millions the philanthropy pledged last year for early education, but this money will be available immediately. Loans for 10 projects, including one in TWSP, have already been approved. U.S. Senate Republicans have proposed repealing what's known as the Roadless Rule, amending what had been a bipartisan bill. As Oregon Public Broadcasting's April Ehrlich reports, Democrats are calling it a Trojan horse.
The proposed Wildfire Prevention Act initially had support from both Democrats and Republicans on a Senate committee. The bill would require the U.S. Forest Service to increase prescribed burning and forest thinning. But Republicans attached an amendment that would rescind the roadless rule. It prevents new roads in certain forests, including 4 million acres in Oregon and Washington. Timber leaders have argued that these areas need roads to fight fires, though most science shows that roads increase fire frequency. U.S. Senator Ron Wyden of Oregon spoke at a press conference.
There are a number of Republican senators who will stop at nothing in their crusade to sell off Americans' public lands. And now the crusade is coming in the form of this effort to repeal the roadless rule.
Democrats say the roadless rule amendment basically kills the wildfire bill. I'm April Ehrlich reporting.
Tig Notaro is a two-time Grammy nominee and Emmy nominee for her comedy. Maybe you've seen her on The Late Show with Stephen Colbert, The Morning Show, or Star Trek Discovery. Rolling Stone even named her one of the 50 best stand-up comedians of all time. Most recently, Notaro became an Oscar nominee for producing the documentary Come See Me in the Good Light. She's bringing her Out of Nowhere tour to Spokane tonight, so I called her ahead of her arrival. So the documentary, Come See Me in the Good Light, is about your friend Andrea Gibson and their journey after a stage 4 cancer diagnosis. You've talked quite publicly about your own cancer diagnosis during stand-up sets. How did your experience with cancer inform the way you approach telling Andrea's story?
You know, I feel like the strength that I brought to it was I was actually the subject of a documentary as well for Netflix years ago. And so having gone through cancer, having been the subject of a documentary, knowing the ins and outs of what it's like to have your life filmed that intimately. Yeah, what I brought was just a sense of knowing that this has to be a very, very safe, comfortable environment to protect Andrea and to also make sure that, because Andrea wanted to do this movie, to make sure that there was a comfort level to be expressive in a way that was going to make the best film possible.
Well, what is it like to have your life filmed that intimately? What surprised you the most about being the subject of your own documentary?
It's funny because going into it, I thought I had an idea of how it was going to all play out, similarly in the way that people might think they know how their life might roughly play out, because you can have all these ideas of, oh, I'll go to school, I'll move here, I'll get in a relationship, I will or won't have kids, I'll live this long, I'll be healthy, my parents will live a full life and they'll see their grandchildren. You might have all of these ideas. That's what I had about life. And then it was quite different with my health and losing my parents, and I never thought I wanted to get married, and meanwhile, I'm very happily married. I didn't know if I'd be able to have kids. I have two extraordinary children. I can't believe I kind of fell for it again. When we were making the documentary, I thought, oh, I have an idea of how I think this will go. And then I forgot about how life is continuing on. And it's a little jarring to have a camera on you when you're caught by surprise in moments. And in my documentary, I was caught by surprise by another wave of grief and disappointment, and I was caught on camera, wasn't expecting it. And it was a brutal reminder that you have no idea what's coming. And that's the beauty and horror of life. But I feel like my life and filming that documentary and everything has made me lean more towards I'm open to what's around the corner.
And for this new documentary, how did the production process and then going through the gauntlet, that is the quote-unquote awards season, change your own self-perception?
You know, I knew that Andrea was a really compelling person, and I felt confident that this would be a beautiful, moving, funny documentary. I think everybody was a little stunned that it made it as far as it did with all of those award nominations, just because it was so independently done around a not so obvious subject and topic. But I was on a walk with my wife. I said, you know, I feel like I wandered onto a football field and ended up playing in the Super Bowl. And Stephanie said, you know, you should really stop saying that about yourself because you legitimately produced that film. She said, you brought all of the key people together and you saw the vision clearly and you moved it forward. You didn't end up there accidentally. I think it was a really helpful thing for me to hear because I think my upbringing and failing school and dropping out, I think I've kind of seen myself as somebody who just kind of stumbles along in ways and it's like, oh, wow, this worked out. That's crazy. And so I think it was a bit of a turning point of seeing myself like, yeah, I guess I did do that. I guess I am capable of those things.
You are a 2-time Grammy nominee, an Emmy nominee, and now you're an Oscar nominee. Any plans to get a Tony Award nomination and finish out losing an EGOT?
It was never my dream, but it is now my dream to be an EGOT loser. I don't put a huge amount of weight in any of that, but it's certainly fun. And as far as a Tony, I guess, you know, I have dreams of potentially doing a one-person show, and there's been this idea rattling around. But yes, it would be a fun thing to be an EGOT loser.
Tig Notaro's Out of Nowhere tour comes to the Bing Crosby Theater in Spokane at 7 o'clock tonight. SPR News Today is a production of Spokane Public Radio. Reporting today was contributed by Eliza Billingham, Doug Nadvornik, Sarah Mises-Tan, April Ehrlich, and me, Owen Henderson. I'm also your host and producer. Eliza Billingham provides digital support. Thanks for listening and have a good weekend. We'll be back in your feeds on Monday. It's SPR.